All right, back in the Young Turks. Well, what is this? Grace Ballrich, Red Erlich, what's in there? Okay.
Oh, that's us. Okay, good.
Okay, yeah. Don't panic.
What if it was like, just Red Erlich, Grace, get out? And I'm like, whoops.
I'd be like, oh, dang, because you're the one who prepped all the stories.
So Brett and I would be like, I don't know, what do you think? What do we think of what?
Good question. What do we think? And then it's just nonsense for 4 hours.
Yeah. 4 hours, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me read a couple of tweets for you guys. Digital Shart, which is fun.
Digital Shart.
How do you spell that?
Wow.
Either way, Alex Jones is a fraud. He's either lying about the persona or his attorney is lying. Well, that's a good point. I Am Sock says, oh good, a performance artist has the ear of the president. So we used to not cover Alex that much. Like we did, I don't know, 3 videos about him in 3 years or something. One just making fun of him with his shirt off and stuff. Now though, he's relevant because Trump is actually getting reports from Alex Jones and taking them seriously. So we have to cover him more. And now his attorney saying in child custody hearings that he's just a performance artist. No one should take him seriously, except the most powerful man on earth.
But what if the most powerful man on earth is also a performance artist?
That's what I was
saying.
What if this is just an elaborate game?
And we all hang out together at like Burger King, or like eating shawarma like the end of the Avengers, just at the end of the day, everyone's just sadly, quietly eating shawarma, being like, we did pull it off.
Wait, hey, spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Okay, I thought maybe some of them died. Okay, fun announcement for you guys. We're hosting a rally in DC on April 30th. Okay, I'm gonna do that. And the point of that rally is, what is the real point of the resistance? What does the resistance mean? Because I think it is being grossly misrepresented. So if you're anywhere near DC, or even if you're not, there's the climate change rally, by the way, the day before. We're also gonna go attend that. Come do the climate change rally with us, and then come check us out on April 30th. If you're wondering, hey, Cenk, how do I find out where it is and when to go? Well, text TYT to 228466 so that you can get updates on time and location when the event begins. 228466.
It's my cell phone number.
What?
Oh, really?
Grace is just frantically like running back. paste.
It's a twofer. And you could become friends with Grace and one day be on Murder with Friends. Okay. So, tytnetwork.com/go. That's our journalism drive. Right now, we got $15 from Maryland, Michigan, $50 from Scott in Arizona, $150 from Paul in California. Now, I want to tell you, $127 used to get you 2 different shirts. We did 2 different things. We got only 2 weeks left, so we're introducing a third shirt. Now, you can still get this one. Okay. We had the Sword in the Darkness for first part. The second part was the Trump as the Night King.
Oh my gosh.
And in the back it says the darkest night and full of tweets.
Amazing.
Okay. Which is very true of Trump. But now we're combining Game of Thrones and TYT, and we have a new house sigil. Given that anybody who watches the show live knows we've got the iguana during the breaks.
So good.
House TYT. Come on, who doesn't want that? Everybody who gives $127 gets the t-shirt. Obviously, you're giving for journalism so that we can hire more reporters. And let me tell you something, we're at around 1.66 now. Jesus will show us where we are now. Oh, look at that, 1.663, okay?
So close.
I will tell you this, if we get to 1.75, we're definitely gonna hire one more reporter, because it's all in layers. It's all basically on what we can afford, depending on how much we raise. If we get to 2, we'll hire 2 reporters. So 1.75 million, one more reporter, 2 million, 2 more reporters, that would be phenomenal. So help us get there. $127 gets you the new t-shirt. If you get it today, just let us know. You want the Trump one? That's all right. God bless for today. And then $270, by the way, gets you the soundboard as well. All the, not the actual physical soundboard, but on a thumb drive.
Sure about that?
Yeah. On a thumb drive, all this stuff.
Rabies.
You could play it to at home to all your friends. And $1,000
TYT ring wasik derlan.
This one I have.
Why is yours upside down?
I know, right?
You never know how to put them on. I don't know that either.
Yeah.
Is it for me or is it for you?
That's right. Okay. Go like this now. Okay. So there's not that many of these. And I honestly, we can't replicate them. We made them and there was only like about 75 of them. And if you already gave $1,000, just let us know, and we'll whoever comes first, we'll give it to you, depending. And there's only certain sizes. I'm just keeping it super real with you guys. So you don't like, if you say, hey, I'm a size 98 finger, mm-hmm. we don't have it.
You, right. may need to commit to a thumb ring. Yeah. And that's something that you'll have to, you know, think about.
Right. But let's finish this strong. There's only 2 weeks left. It's the first 100 days of Trump, and then we're done with the journalism drive. It'd be fantastic to hire two more watchdogs. Let's all do it at tytnetwork.com/go. Okay. Grace, what's the first story?
All right. Cleveland police are searching for a suspect who posted a video of him murdering someone on Facebook Live. The Ohio man shot and killed an elderly passerby Sunday afternoon, and then he posted it to Facebook. Obviously, his account and the Facebook video have since been removed. Now, law enforcement officials have identified the suspect, although we're not going to say his name here. Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams said officers were searching for him in the Cleveland area and beyond. The victim was identified as 74-year-old Robert Godwin Sr. Let me tell you a little bit more about what was in the video. In the video, which appears shaky, Stevens gets out of his car. Let me take that back because I totally botched that. In the video, which appears shaky, gets out of his car and appears to randomly target Godwin, who was holding a shopping bag. The suspect says the name of a woman whom Godwin does not seem to recognize, and then the suspect says, quote, she's the reason that this is about to happen to you. Before pointing a gun at him, Godwin can be seen shielding his face with the shopping bag. It's incredibly upsetting to those who have seen the video. Now, Facebook has issued a response. They have said, quote, this is a horrific crime and we do not allow this kind of content on Facebook. We work hard to keep a safe environment on Facebook and are in touch with law enforcement in emergencies when there are direct threats to physical safety. So the questions that people are asking surrounding this case is perhaps Facebook is complicit in some way for allowing this to have been on the internet for 3 hours. Maybe there are people that would want to copy his sort of actions, people that look up to madmen like this, which we know that there are people that do. What is your response to those sort of accusations, Brett?
Me? Okay, so here's what I think. I think that there is a governing, it's called Section 230, and it is the law that is intended to protect internet sites mm-hmm. or service providers from being prosecuted for the acts of people who post on that site. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, and any kind of tweak to enforcement of that or the phrasing of that could have wide-ranging effects on the general, liability of internet companies by and large. In this case, it does seem like Facebook has been changing as rapidly as I can expect them to in order to make it so that they are cooperative with law enforcement in situations like this one, where it seems like they should be giving information or at least taking down the video to discourage
right,
copycats
which they,
like that.
Which they
I just
did.
Don't know how they would physically be able to automatically notify folks that, or automatically understand and know that that kind of illicit content is put on their site.
Well, and also that that sort of illicit content is being created, because remember, this was a Facebook Live. It wasn't like this was a video that was pre-recorded. This was happening in real time, so it doesn't seem as though there's that sort of technology where they could be able to sense this and then take the video down or tell authorities in a timely manner to avoid the situation from happening.
Yeah, Facebook totally, utterly not guilty. So in order to stop this, you'd have to stop all live broadcasts, which then gives a monopoly back to giant multinational corporations who are the only ones who have billions of dollars that could start TV stations. Mm-hmm. So then you could do your 7-second delay that costs so much money to do on giant broadcast networks, etc. No, look, there's enormous upside to being able to go live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. And it connects us all. Is it going to be abused by some madmen, including this guy? Yeah, of course it is. And so should they regulate that as soon as they can? Of course, and they did. They took it down as quickly as they can, as they could. Everybody's cooperating. They have a picture of the guy. They're all trying to find him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it encourages copycats anymore. I mean, there was a guy who went and shot two people in the middle of a live local television news broadcast. Should we blame local television and shut it down? right? No, of course not. So it's look, there's bad actors that have the potential to ruin good things, and it applies across so many different facets, but we can't make rules based on a tiny percentage of people. Now, everybody's rooting for this guy to be found. He apparently boasted in another video that he's killed dozens of people. Mm-hmm. Now, the authorities are not sure they believe him about that. Well, I understand, because he doesn't have a lot of credibility, right? On the other hand, I'd take it seriously, given that he apparently shot someone not only live and hence kind of bragging about it and is obviously mentally unstable, but also because that dude is totally random because of something his girlfriend did. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm mad at her, so that's because of this, you're gonna get killed. So the guy's a clear lunatic, let's go find him right away. But yeah, that doesn't mean we should change the way Facebook or the internet works.
So he is considered to be armed and dangerous as of now, and police are still searching for him.
They were in contact with him and told him to turn himself in, and he hasn't since. Yeah. But who's to say, I mean, these are those who's to say statements. Like, who's to say that this guy wouldn't have just shot someone on the street without Facebook Live? Now, in this situation, maybe it was the fact that it was on Facebook Live that's in the zeitgeist right now, and you have footage of it that brings it to the attention of a lot of folks who then are able to put pressure on the authorities to get in touch with Facebook and then find out more information. But then again, there's all these other ambiguities about in what situation does Facebook collaborate with law enforcement. In this case, again, I think this is a good time to do that. In other cases, when the government's trying to get information on people to monitor them, that's a different story if they haven't done anything wrong. But in this video specifically, there is video of him shooting someone. So get that guy.
Yeah, and you can get a warrant for that. And remember when we used to get warrants? So the rest of the cases get a little unclear. In a case like this, I think it's fairly clear. And look, I think there's a lot of fear-mongering going around. Like, you remember when they used to talk about Craigslist killers?
Right.
Like, oh my God, they found somebody on Craigslist and then killed him. Yeah, there's been killers for a long time. You could have called them the Yellow Pages killer. They found him on the Yellow Pages and killed him. That doesn't mean the Yellow Pages did it. Well, he's the guy who did it.
If you recall in Terminator, when Arnold Schwarzenegger is looking for Sarah Connor, goes through the phone book to find her.
Sarah Connor.
I'm just saying that that's a very good example. We would have called him the Yellow Page killer if the Terminator was real, and it is not a real story.
No, but actually, little known fact, they were thinking of naming the movie The Phone Book Killer.
No.
They were not.
I thought The Phone Book
Killer. Of course I made that up.
Yeah.
But I'm too gullible to know that. Now I'm like, what?
Okay. Yeah. This is
the, by the way, we wouldn't have even known the guy if he hadn't done it on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Like, so the small upside in this is that he did it live, so we immediately know who it is.
Right. The governing principle, don't kill people. In this situation, he did. This is a way we can catch them, the same way that police have various avenues of evidence that they can pursue to catch killers. This is one that, I mean, at least there was video of it, and he's going to be convicted.
Yeah,
if he's caught.
My final thought on this would just be, I talk about killers a lot on Murder with Friends. I'm very familiar with a lot of what their MOs have been, and a lot of them are egomaniacs. And in this case, it seems like this was a guy that wanted a lot of attention that was an egomaniac. And fortunately, it seems as though he's going to have a swift apprehension, we can hope, because he wanted that sort of attention, that sort of notoriety that unfortunately he really did get in the end.
So Grace, it's a great point. And let me just say, look, that's been my theory for a long time now, that what unites the terrorists and the mass shooters and guys like this is looking for attention and looking for glory in all the wrong places, right? The kid who did the Sandy Hook shootings collected the clippings of the other mass shooters. They're all looking for glory in their own way. And so I hear you that, hey, if he gets to do it live, then maybe that he feels like, hey, I'm gonna get more famous.
At the very least, the girl might see it, that his attention, who he was upset with.
Right, but he could have walked into a live shot on a local news or a national news story.
It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be Facebook. But this aligns with a lot of what we know about, crazed killers, is that they want that sort of notoriety. If they're going to go out, then they want people to know their name, which is really tragic. Let's move on to another tragic story. Obviously, maybe you guys are up to date on what has been going on with the Arkansas executions in the state. So, all right, let's go. Whew. So the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed a federal judge's temporary injunction to 8 inmates that Arkansas, the state of Arkansas, had planned to execute. Let's break down this whole story, how this got to where it is. So a federal judge threw the process into turmoil early Saturday after agreeing to halt the scheduled executions, putting the Arkansas's capital punishment plans in jeopardy for the foreseeable future. Now, the state attorney general's office is appealing, and obviously that appeal just went through and it did reverse that injunction. Why this is going on? The state plans to employ a 3-drug lethal injection cocktail, midazolam, to render the inmate unconscious, vercuronium bromide to paralyze and stop their breathing, and then finally potassium chloride to stop the heart. But it is the defense's claim that midazolam, which is not an anesthetic, doesn't always work, allowing the patient to wake up in incredible pain due to other drugs coursing through their veins. And they have cited incidences that have taken place in Arizona, Alabama, Oklahoma to buff up their case. Now, the assistant federal public defender, John Williams, says, quote, "We are calling on state officials to accept the federal court's decision, cancel the frantic execution schedule, and propose a legal and humane method to carry out its executions." Basically, what they're citing is there's a threat of irreparable harm to the plaintiffs. That is significant, and the drug is going to expire at the end of this month, which is why the state of Arkansas is really pushing for these executions to go through. There's even more to unpack. I guess we can talk a little bit about just that first part of the case, and then we can dive into what's going on with the circuit judge who placed a restraining order on the second drug, and they were actually reassigned from the case due to a conflict of interest. But from the jump, I want to get a reaction from you guys as this is a developing story.
Yeah, so there's easy parts to this story and harder parts. The second judge is a little harder. First judge, I think, is very easy. So we're now in the year 2017, and we can't figure out how to put someone under. I don't mean 6 feet under, sorry. I mean in terms of an anesthetic. I mean, we do it in every surgery in the country, but we can't find a drug that puts the guy completely under. They've woken up in 3 different states in the middle of the, when they're supposed to be knocked out, in the middle of being killed.
Right.
That's a no-brainer. Of course you can't do it with that drug. It doesn't work, and they have ample evidence that it doesn't work. Is it cruel and unusual punishment to wake up in the middle of your own execution? Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer.
But like, what is the usual way to put someone to death? Like, what do you mean? Like the non-cruel usual way to put, like, it's a drug cocktail. Well, drug, like death cocktail, those words together sound unusual. Calling it a cocktail freaks me out every single time. Like, cocktails are supposed to be delightful and tasty and get you a little tipsy. Don't call it a cocktail. It makes me sick to my stomach.
So, well, that gets to the second easy part, Brett. We shouldn't have the death penalty. So, and I used to be in favor of the death penalty, and I'm a vengeful dude, and I've explained this 1,000 times. But it turns out we don't execute the right people. It turns out 4% of the people on death row have been exonerated. Are you kidding me? 4 out of 100 times, you're like, oh, we killed an innocent guy. No big deal. You know how many people have already been let go because, oops, we had the wrong guy on death row? Mm-hmm. So far, 157. We were going to murder 157 innocent people. So it's one thing when you're killing the right guy. It's a totally different thing when you're killing the wrong guy.
Well, and furthermore, Cenk, what Arkansas was proposing to do is actually the greatest number of inmates who would be executed in a single state in this short period of time in modern history. So because of that and all the proximity of these executions, it would really increase the chances of one of these executions being botched. And so that is a major concern that is coming into play here, because of course we know that there is a constitutional prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment, and it doesn't seem like that could be a guarantee in these cases.
So that's the 8th Amendment. And look, to Brett's point about, well, what's the usual way to kill someone? Well, would it be cruel and unusual and violate the 8th Amendment if we slowly sawed their head off?
I feel that's a little too far. That seems cruel and unusual, the slow sawing off of a head, yes.
In fact, we bomb other countries when people like ISIS do that. And we go, that is such a heinous and unacceptable thing to do, that we will bomb you for it, and we will kill you and maybe some civilians along the way with it. Okay, so but a lot sometimes that might be quicker than these drug cocktails, and then some of them you wake up in the middle. The second drug is supposed to start having all your organs shut down.
So let me tell you about the second drug. So what happens with the second drug is it's used to paralyze and stop the inmates breathing. Now, a circuit judge, Wendell Griffin, said on a Friday evening that circuit judge Wendell Griffin placed a restraining order on this second drug called vercunium bromide because they testified that the drug manufacturers and distributors had asked her to return the drug she had received from them because she did not want to be associated with executions. She said that she had declined but had informed all of them how she planned to use them. Okay. So wait, let me take that back and let me explain exactly what's happening here. This circuit judge wanted to place a restraining order on the second drug because the manufacturer, McKesson Medical Surgical, said that they didn't want their drug associated with executions. And then the Arkansas Director of Corrections, Wendy Kelly, testified to that effect, saying that they had said that they didn't want to be associated with the executions. But this came into jeopardy because shortly after the judge handed down that ruling, the judge was then seen at a anti-death penalty protest outside of the governor of Arkansas's house. And as of today, the state Supreme Court has reassigned the cases from that circuit judge's docket.
So the reason why this is harder is two reasons.
It's so hard.
Okay.
It's very complicated.
It's really complicated.
Yeah, okay. So the state of Arkansas goes to this company, McKesson Medical Surgical, and lies to them. Says, oh, I need this drug to help my cat, or whatever lie they gave them, right? And so they're like, okay, great, they sell them the drug because that's their business. And then they find out later, oh no, Arkansas is going to use it to execute people. And they say, whoa, you bought that under false pretenses. I don't authorize you to use it to execute people. Now, that's a really hard case. If you're a judge, you could rule either way on that. Does the company have the right to ask for its product back? I don't know. You'd really have to get knee deep in the legal weeds to try to figure out if they have the right to get the thing back, right? So I think that could go either way. Then the judge comes out of ruling that case, in that case, and literally joins an anti-death penalty protest. And he's the guy who dresses up as the inmate being ready to get killed in this the show that they put on in the protest. It's problematic.
Yeah, I can't think of a judge doing something like that while they're still a judge. Like maybe afterwards you become when you're outside, but the reason that we dress judges in black robes so that they're a floating head is just so that we can maintain this idea of impartiality. Like there's not even a body there. It's just a mind to listen to what you have to say and judge based on the law. And for him to then go and take that persona completely away, dress as an inmate on death row. But then on the other hand, he's a judge. We have hired this, we're elected, depending on where we are, we've elected or hired this person and given them full faith to make judgments on things like the death penalty. So why should we be surprised if we see them? And maybe we should take it more seriously when we see a judge at this level saying, this is ridiculous and we shouldn't do it.
Yeah, and so I always think, what if the shoe was on the other foot?
Agree.
Yeah, so now I know that the judges are in fact people and they have a lot of political opinions. And who are we kidding when we pretend that they don't? And I know they also have their First Amendment rights and they're also citizens. But there is a point to pretending to be impartial, because otherwise then we begin to think, well, none of this is fair. They're just voting based on their politics, not based on the law. Mm-hmm. And I think that appearance actually does have value. And I think that there's value in maintaining that appearance of impartiality. And I hope for a lot of judges, the reality of impartiality. So if the shoe was on the other foot, and there was a guy who made a decision that really could have gone either way on a pro-life, pro-choice case, and then he takes his robe off and joins a pro-life rally and says, stop murdering babies, and holds up a poster. Are you positive that he made an impartial ruling?
Yeah.
I'm no longer completely positive. So, and I think that if you're pro-death penalty, you get to be not so positive that this decision was impartial.
Yeah, it was irresponsible. It was definitely irresponsible. Also worth noting is that there were two executions that were supposed to have occurred at 7 p.m. today for Bruce Warden, Don, and Dan Davis. They both have received stays as of today. So no one of the eight inmates that were scheduled to be executed have been executed.
And I believe combined, they've been on death row for 51 years.
Yeah, one of them was on death row for 26 years. So what happens is the state of Arkansas didn't have all the drugs that they needed for this lethal cocktail. Now they finally have the drugs that they do need, but one of them expires at the end of the month. So they're just insanely speeding up this process, and it doesn't leave time for clemency. A lot of judges have issued opinions. All of them are calling for a halt on this, because whether it's procedural or because they are ruling that it's cruel and unusual, I think that you have to listen to what the judges are saying here.
So look, last thing on this is to Brett's point about, is there a way of killing someone that isn't cruel and unusual? I think the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Look at the framing. If ISIS had found a chemical that stops your heart while you're still conscious, we'd be like, oh my God, they're using chemicals on these people, and while he's still alive, he can see his heart is about to stop, and then it stops and he dies. How cruel and vicious is ISIS? Let's go kill them all. When Arkansas does it, you're like, oh yeah, it's a chemical cocktail, right?
Yeah.
No. You can't have the guy wake up in the middle of and look at his heart about to stop, and then, no, we can't do that. And I don't know that we tried gassing people, we tried a firing squad, we tried hanging them, now we've tried the drug cocktails. And given that we're set to murder 157 people that didn't do it, maybe we should just keep them in prison for life instead of trying to execute them in a humane and lovely way, because there isn't one. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have the left and the right fighting, but now it's gotten physical, let alone the physical stuff that happens on United. Okay, when we return. All right, back on Young Turks. Tweets about two separate topics here. CJ says Facebook is not in the wrong here about the guy who shot someone live. Don't follow this argument at all. Should the ISP be responsible? The iPhone used be responsible? It's a really good point. Mm-hmm. The internet service provider has had a part in it. The iPhone did.
And that there's a ruling along those lines. I mean, and at the heart of the Trump bill that allows ISPs to sell to monitor your information and sell it to the highest bidder. Like, that's part of the argument. It's like, well, the ISP is like your phone company who's just giving you the opportunity to make a phone call.
Right.
Should they be responsible for what you say on the phone call?
It's a really slippery slope if you want to blame Facebook for it.
Yeah. Andrew says Facebook not allowing streaming wouldn't stop the murder. At least there's video evidence for the courts. Jack McAnally says, so they were trying to push through a bunch of executions over Easter. Nobody else sees the irony there? Oh, good point, because we didn't. Thank you, Jack, for pointing that out.
But those people come back to life during the murder, so it's very Jesus-y.
Yeah. Well, actually, they do, right? For 3 days, but mm-mm. Maybe for 3 seconds or 3 minutes. Okay. It got weird in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Sleep Free Parent finally says, tonight on Murder with Friends, Arkansas murdered 27 people in a 50-year spree. Their motives unclear. Were they seeking attention? I don't know. Is that how we do the Murder with Friends promos? Did I do that okay?
I don't know. That's so serious. I mean, maybe.
Okay. You have to say it with like a happy grace face.
I don't know if we've ever actually discussed a case of capital punishment on Murder with Friends, but I think it would be a really interesting. Well, no, just a case of a wrongful conviction. I think the West Memphis 3 would be a really interesting case. We were just talking about that during the break. West Memphis 3 would be a really interesting case to talk about, because that's a perfect example of people who were on death row for a crime they did not commit.
Oh, by the way, in the Arkansas case, there was a guy who came to the rally. He was on Arkansas's death row for 18
Damian
years.
Damian Echols. He's one of West Memphis 3.
Yeah, oops, didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
$27 from Kevin in Texas. This is for tytnetwork.com/go. Let's see that one more time before we go. $127 from Jack in Colorado. Oh, nice. 1664898. Looks like maybe somebody bought a ring. $127 from David in Pennsylvania. Everybody with $127 now can get the Trump shirt today or can get House TYT going forward. Mm-hmm. We only have 2 weeks left in the campaign. Let's see if we can get to 2 million. There's House TYT.
Not an easy decision, the House TYT versus the other one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a real tough decision right there.
And that's right. And then finally, our member shoutouts are Harold Salisbury and William Palumbo McAfee, which is a great long name.
Great name.
So on today's post game, you guys don't know this, I was in Canada. One, why Canada is Steve Bannon's nightmare. And two, I found the inner sanctum for white people.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if you two are rich enough to know it. Okay, so I will share that in the post game.
Usually it's a prison of our own emotional making.
Well, it could play into it. It could play into it, as you'll see. All right, so in order to watch the post games, become a member, tytnetwork.com/join. You'll also get Murder with Friends, which is actually now one of the more popular parts of membership.
Cool.
How's that for a fun fact?
That's a fun fact.
Yes.
Sick bastards.
Hosted by Grace, obviously. TYTnetwork.com/join. Get the whole 2-hour show, too. All right, what's next?
All right. Rival protesters clashed There were protests all over the country. We're going to be telling you about two of them. They were rival protests that clashed and bubbled over into violence, one in Berkeley, California, the other in Austin, Texas. So first in Berkeley, where police arrested 13 to try and keep the two camps separate. Now there was a camp for Trump supporters and Trump opponents. As fistfights broke out between the two sides and people threw bottles and cans over a barricade separating them, police resorted to using an explosive device at one point in a bid to restore order. Now, what was going on in Berkeley was an event that was billed as Patriots Day, which was a free speech rally and a picnic, mostly of Trump supporters. There were about 500 to 1,000 people in the park when it was at its peak, according to Reuters. And eventually, it became very violent. There's a viral video going around right now of Nathan D'Amigo of a white nationalist group, Identity Europa, who was identified by multiple witnesses as the man seen in a viral video lunging at an unsuspecting woman with dreadlocks and viciously punching her before she had a chance to react. It's a really upsetting video. He is an attendant at Cal State Stanislaus, and officials have launched an immediate investigation into what his deal is and if he's going to face charges. He's an Iraqi war veteran and also a convicted felon. Now, what was going on over in Austin, Texas, the alt-right Mike Cernovich, who is a blogger, some of you guys might know him, says that he was assaulted. Let's take a video at his experience at an Austin, Texas rally.
I'm being assaulted. I'm being assaulted.
Remember, everybody.
This is assault. Look, I'm being pushed. I'm under assault.
Okay, before you go on and we go to the second video, Grace, it appears that he's whispering sweet nothings into his ear more than assaulting him.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that Cernovich is a special little snowflake in this case, where when a guy gets too close to him and starts talking to him, he starts, I'm being assaulted, I'm being assaulted. Okay, so that part I think is not a big deal. And both sides are trying to provoke each other. I hate this stuff. I love protests. I think it's the most American thing you can do, and it doesn't matter if you're on the right or the left. And so I just don't like it when it gets physical, and they're trying to provoke one another. Cernovich went there and started screaming at the people who are against Trump. Bill Clinton's a rapist. Bill Clinton's a rapist. Bill Clinton's a rapist. Right.
Well, he takes to the stage. He starts saying it in the microphone, and then he sort of is shuffled over to the side, and then he starts yelling it. This is all on his live stream, and he was attending, or he was, I guess, crashing. A lot of people would say it was a tax day rally in Austin. Protesters were calling to see Donald Trump's tax returns. So there was the Patriots Day, organized by mostly Trump supporters in Berkeley, and then this was people who opposed Donald Trump in Austin, Texas, that Mike Cernovich was at.
Yeah, so they love playing the victim. The right-wing guys, the deplorable guys, and Cernovich was part of the guys who put together the deplorable, and it's hilarious because they had a fight over whether they should also be anti-Semitic or just hate everyone but the Jews.
A tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough call. And so what they love to do is provoke, and then if anyone even gets close to them, go, I'm the victim, I'm the special snowflake of all, right? So that's part of this plan, and I hate that plan. So get your own protest.
Well,
which, by the way, I would say to the left in Berkeley as well. But there is a second video that I think is worse.
There is a second part of this. So as he is ushered out, well, let's take a look at what happened. This is also from Mike Cernovich's live stream.
So that's really unclear. I've watched it a couple of times now. And he said at the end there, I was assaulted and I had to punch a guy back, right? So it looks like somebody punched Cernovich as he was taping, but I couldn't quite tell because it was like, it didn't seem like the camera took the blow. It seemed like he was punching, but I can't tell. If they punched Cernovich and you got it and the police can tell, that's definitely assault. That actually is assault. And so that should be prosecuted.
Yeah, well, these protests seemed fun. No, this is, when I see this, it's like, well, you have to separate the things that were happening at the protest that were the intent of the protesters at large. And then you have the incidents that occurred because people were either trying to distract from the original intent of the protest. They were, baiting people into giant reactions. And that's a separate issue for me. For me, I need to focus more on like the Tax Day protests as part of a larger series of protests to give a visual representation of the sheer amount of people who are in a resistance against the Trump administration and keep that momentum going past the 100 days after Election Day, as opposed to these little things, which are like, yes, I saw Cernovich. I saw the video. Originally, the video is filmed upside down, which makes you just, if you want to see the original version, go play this back and like put your phone up against the wall and stand on your head, because even your phone's smart enough to fix it, to flip it, and Cernovich wasn't. So I just, it's so frustrating to watch these videos because they make me sick to my stomach. Well, and I want to focus more on like the positive aspects of a protest than a negative.
Which we've totally lost, because obviously there were a number of protests during Tax Day about wanting to see Donald Trump's tax returns. And unfortunately, what we're going to be hearing about is the few cities where it turned to violence. Now, that didn't happen in Los Angeles, and there are cities across the country calling for the same thing where it didn't turn violent. But unfortunately, when people each other, this is what it's reduced to. It's just reduced to physical violence, and no one's point is heard. It's just a screaming match that everyone loses.
But that's exactly the point of the right wing. They say, oh, you have an interesting protest about tax day, right? And how Trump doesn't pay his taxes, and we don't know his tax returns, and we don't know if he did a deal with the Russians because he won't give us. Oh, I'm going to ruin your point because the mainstream media and everybody else loves violence. I'm going to go and try to provoke violence, claim to be the victim, and distract you completely from the real issue. So at the end of the day, guys like Cernovich are going around thinking, mission accomplished, man. I get to be the snowflake, I get to be the victim, and I distracted you completely from what the essence of the protest
and
was.
And does that point of view carry over to the people that crashed Patriots Day?
Yeah, it does.
In Berkeley? Okay.
Yeah, and so let them have Patriots Day. Don't be goofballs here where you got one guy dressed up as the Patriots and the other guy's dressed up as gladiators and whatever else you're doing. Come on, guys. And then three absurd parts of that story. And you read it, Grace. There was the cops used an explosive device at one point in a bid to restore order. You know things have become messy when you do an explosive device to restore order. And then a weekly farmers market was canceled ahead of the rally due to concerns about violence, which summarizes Berkeley in a nutshell. Like, oh, should we have the farmers market or should we have a bit of a violent protest?
Yeah.
Even so, by the way, a stall selling fresh vegetables remained open for business amid the fist fighting.
I feel like the right wing should have turned it into the framers market, like the framers of the Constitution. I think that would have been a phrase mark.
Clever.
But yeah, this is frustrating. Because even in the first thing you said, there's an assumption that the folks from who are disrupting the Patriots March are part of anyone's movement whatsoever, when they might just be people who showed up wanting to fight.
No, I know. But that's why it's so counterproductive. Because when you get baited by the Cernoviches or you get baited by the Patriots Day or whatever, then they get to say, aha, the left is the violent ones, which is super ironic. But in some of those cases, now look, again,
impossible.
At the Patriots Day one, it's the woman getting punched right by the right wing guys, right?
Yes.
But if you don't ever touch these right wing guys, I know it's super hard. I know we get baited too. They come onto our set, they break the law, they trespass, they do all these things. But the cops, you've got to be impartial. And when they do that, you've got to remove them. If you don't, you're encouraging violence. And what I'm telling you is, if you're a progressive, we don't do violence. We do nonviolence. That's what makes us progressive. So don't get baited by these guys.
Yeah. All right. On to United.
Yes.
So amid all the controversy of late, United Airlines has changed a policy saying that the crew cannot displace seated passenger. They will no longer allow crew members to displace customers already on board of an airplane. This, of course, comes after the incident with David Dow, who was dragged from a fully booked United Express flight in Chicago. Under the change outlined in an internal April 14th email, a crew member must ride bookings at least 60 minutes prior to departure. Crews could previously be booked until the time of departure, furthering sort of the PR nightmare that is going on with United right now. A couple asserts that they were kicked off of a United flight on their way to a wedding. Michael Hull and Amber Maxwell were the last people to get on the flight going from Houston to Liberia, Costa Rica. They say, quote, "We thought not a big deal. It's not like we're trying to jump into a first class seat. We were simply in an economy row, a few rows above our economy seat." So what they were trying to do is they were trying to move from their seat to economy. Plus, basically, they were asked to remove from the flight by U.S. Air Marshal and the flight attendant. United has says, quote, "These passengers repeatedly attempted to sit in upgraded seating, which they did not purchase, and they would not follow crew instructions to return to their assigned seats. We've been in touch with them and have rebooked them on flights tomorrow." So just another thing to add to what's going on with United right now. Is there anything that United can do to turn this around for them? Because stories are just coming out of everywhere at this point.
Listen, right now I think that there's a lot of folks on planes. I've talked to a lot of flight attendants recently who say like folks are becoming monsters because they want millions of dollars in settlements right now. Now, there was an original problem. We talked about this on Pop Trigger today. It seems like that story was a perfect storm of a lot of people making a lot of mistakes along the way, mostly United and then the police department and finding the right guy who's not going to get up. Usually you pick someone and they go. And yes, that general dynamic feels unjust. Like if I buy a ticket to go to a sporting event and there's no seat at the sporting event, I'm going to be pissed off the way I think I should be, you know, allowed to be pissed off if I buy a plane ticket and get up. But still, like, that was a perfect storm. And at this point, I feel like a lot of folks are trying to pile onto that instead of focusing on what the injustice really was, which is overbooking and United not having its shit together when it comes to getting their flight crews to the place they need to be to get another flight to take off later.
I think that the people working in airports had run amok, and this is finally people pushing back and saying, I can't take it anymore. But I think Brett is right. The pendulum will swing too far in the other direction. As now there's a melee. You know, you don't get the peanuts on United, and you're going to be like, "Why did United did it again?"
It's happening,
right? So that's kind of where we're headed now. But I'm glad there's a little bit of a pushback because there was this attitude of, "Hey, man, if you even look at someone in an airport the wrong way, you get thrown out. You never get your ticket. You don't get your money back. Your trip gets ruined, etc." So I think those days now finally might be coming to an end, which is not such a bad thing.
Well, at least for the foreseeable future. But knowing airlines, they're always been kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, there's three of them.
And
they control a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Listen, they need more. The solution to this would have been for them to have hired more flight attendants so that they have people on the ground in Louisville. Or they had to notify it earlier. They need more automation. They have enough automation to generally correctly assume how many people are going to miss their flights, so they know to overbook it by four because four people probably miss it. But a lot of time, their crew scheduling service is not automated enough for them to know ahead of time and signal ahead of time to get crews to where they need to be. This hour-long window will ensure that people aren't already seated. You're still going to get bumped, and it sucks a lot. But at least they're not going to have to come down and pull someone out of their seat as much as they used to.
All right, we're out of time. So post game, what is white people's inner sanctum? I have found it. I will explain it to you.
Love it.
TYTnetwork.com/join. Bye bye.